Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you've lived in Sacramento and the surrounding areas for a while, you may remember the real estate boom times of 2005 and then the bust that followed. During the pandemic, some predicted a housing bust, but instead we saw prices soar and buying continue. With interest rates on a steady rise, you might also think that's put a dent in real estate activity, but it's not that simple. The numbers do tell a deeper story of what's going on. Ryan Lundquist is a local real estate appraiser and has a blog with local market trends, and Ryan joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So if you had one word to describe the real estate market in Sacramento today, what would it be?
Strange. Definitely a strange market. I would say I'm calling this a hybrid market where it feels like the worst of 2007 for the number of sales, but it feels like 2020 competition. And so it's like we have this market that's really not, you know, struggling with affordability, but it's ultra competitive, which creates a really strange lopsided dynamic. Mm.
The average mortgage rate today hovers around like 7 to 8%. And that has been on a steady rise, as a lot of people are aware, since those record lows during the pandemic. I think it hovered at like 2.6% in like 2021. So those 2 years went by fast. How has that shaped today's market?
Well, so I think 2 to 3% rates felt really good at the time, and a lot of people have the benefit of having a rate like that. Around 82% of loans in the U.S. are actually below 5%. And so, I mean, people are not accustomed to 7%, but, you know, it felt good then. But what's happened is that it's created an environment where sellers are now sitting. And so this year we've had about, 44% fewer sellers list their homes in the region compared to what's normal. And, you know, same on the buyer side, where there's about 40% fewer buyers. And so it's a strange dynamic where I think a lot of people aren't participating simply because of the cost to afford a house today.
Yeah. So if you are a potential seller, you're sitting on it because what would you be able to get for the value of the sale?
Exactly. I do market talks almost every week, and sometimes there's up to about 200 people in the room, and I always ask people, raise your hand if you have a rate below 4% and such. But then I say, raise your hand if you have incentive to sell this year. There's almost usually zero hands. Sometimes one will go up and I say, you're leaving California, aren't you? You know, and that's often the case.
So for those people who are putting their house on the market, they're selling, I mean, what are prices like? Are they selling like top dollar, like a few years back, and, you know, ridiculous over asking prices?
So the market is not 2021, you know, where things were ultra competitive, but it's actually more competitive than it normally is. So properties are still selling almost as fast as ever besides 2020 and 2021. And so we're sort of in third place right now, which is wild since we're dealing with affordability. But, you know, prices are down about 7% from the peak in May 2022. That's going to vary by neighborhood. Some could be more, some could be less, but it's still sort of, you know, like historically high prices. And it's almost like the Fed has tried to break the housing market. They haven't broken prices, but it kind of feels like they've broken volume because the number of sales is so low right now.
In terms of volume, how many homes are on the market?
So, well, in any given time in the whole region, there's about 2,500 or so. But in a normal year, I mean, that could be a couple thousand more. And so it's this dynamic, again, where the number of listings is nothing like it normally is.
Hmm. And as it stands today, it seems like, okay, like sellers can still sell their homes, even though the volume has changed and it's not nothing like it was 2 years ago. For homes that sit on the market, are they sitting on the market longer, and does that result in prices dropping?
So at this time of year, we should see prices drop for the rest of the year. That's a very normal seasonal trend. Our seasonal peak occurred basically in June this year, some stats in July. But, you know, it's a mixed bag. About 20% of properties get into contract the first weekend. Right now, 2021, if it wasn't selling in the first weekend, you're asking, well, what's wrong with it, right? But today, about half of properties might go in the first 2 weeks, but then 70% in 30 days, like it's going to take longer to sell. We're no longer at that point where half of everything is selling in 7 days. It's more like half of everything is selling in the region in about 13 days right now. And so it's technically doubled, but this is actually faster than it normally is. I just think it takes a lot to get used to a market that's a little slower. Or, you know, I've talked with a couple sellers recently And they're like, well, what's wrong? My property's been on the market for 2 weeks. And look, if all the pendings are going fast and you're not, you really need to look at the price. But otherwise, I think there is an adjustment where people have to recognize and concede that it's probably going to take longer because that's what we should be seeing for the time of year. And we're no longer in that 2021 market where everything went very, very fast.
Yeah, I mean, you are someone that just like dives in and swims with like real estate market trends. How has this time been the last couple of years? I mean, you've been following, especially locally here in the Sacramento area, for several years or decades.
Yeah, it's I've had a blog for 14 years and it's been stunning to watch. I sometimes the sentiment online, people will sort of flex and say, oh, you know, this is exactly what I expected to see. And I say baloney because we've not had a market like this with really low supply and really low demand. And I mean, that's why it's so competitive. And so it's logical to see sellers stepping back like this, but it's still stunning. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it.
So if you're a buyer, what makes a strong buyer today?
Well, first, I think buyers have to obviously be able to afford the house. I'd say to buyers, I mean, don't overextend yourself. You know, if it's the right time for you, great. You know, pull the trigger. If it's not, then, you know, rent or, you know, be you, do whatever you need to do. But I think buyers, they still have to bring a strong offer. It depends on the price range, of course. You can overprice in literally any price range in the area, but I'd say you have to bring a strong offer. But you might be able to actually get something back from the seller in certain price ranges. There are more credits being given today. Not in every situation, but don't go in and, you know, offer 30% below what it's worth. There's no chance of getting that accepted in the vast bulk of cases.
Given that we've gone through, you know, what is, you know, relatively an unprecedented situation in the real estate market in the last 2 years, going from record lows to now we're up to like 7 to 8%. You know, you can go back decades and, you know, like my parents or older generations will be like, I remember when it was in the double digits, you know. So like the half-life can be short, and people are looking at 7 to 8% thinking that is, you know, excessive. You know, how is that shaping buyers potentially sitting on the sidelines? Are you talking to people who want to buy, but they're trying to, you know, time out the right time?
Yeah, so I think in terms of mortgage rates, first of all, they're not historically high, you know, when you consider rates were 18% in the early 80s, but prices were also, you know, I bought a house for $58,000 in 82, and so it's a much different story. The problem today is having a rate that's over twice of what it was at historically high prices. Like, go to a mortgage calculator and, you know, that'll be very sobering for anyone who's trying to say that, you know, rates at 7% isn't a big deal. But yeah, I mean, many buyers, they're really counting the cost. You know, should I rent? Should I buy? And I think that for some buyers, the ones that I find participating in today's market, you know, there's been over 11,000 of them in the region this year. Okay. Now there should be, you know, closer to 18,000, but, you know, we'll take what we can get. But, you know, the buyers who are buying, it's lifestyle for the win. You know, it's people who need a larger house, need a smaller house. They're getting divorced. You know, they're getting married. You know, they're, you know, moving a county. They're wanting a property on acreage. And so it's those ones where I think that are making it happen today.
What are the hot spots in our area, Sacramento and surrounding counties, where people are moving and buying?
So I would say that, I mean, there's hot spots all over. The hottest price range is really 400 to 500,000, way more dominant in Sacramento County than Placer County. Good luck trying to get something for 400 there. But I'd say Roseville has really been, you know, quite the tractor beam sucking in, you know, buyers over the past few years. And in fact, when you look at new construction, Roseville typically has about 25% of all newly homes built, according to North State BIA data. And so, you know, something's happening there. But you look at areas like Folsom and Rancho Cordova and Lincoln that are all growing in population along with Roseville. And so I'd characterize those as sort of hot zones.
A big theme has been a Bay Area migration in recent years. Is that still happening from what you're seeing?
So first, we always have a relationship with the Bay in Sacramento, but yeah, it was absolutely heightened during the COVID era when everyone and their mom could take their tech job and work from home, and so moving to El Dorado County and Placer County, but I think it's really starting to subside. There's some new research put out by John Burns Real Estate Consulting, and we could see that there's no longer outbound migration according to postal address changes from the Bay Area, that it's not what it was, and Sacramento is no longer that hot place for receiving so many Bay Area buyers. And so I just think it's important for sellers to recognize that and not to say, well, I know there's less Bay Area buyers, but I'm still going to get this Bay Area unicorn. Like, be careful of that.
Yeah. A big issue that happened this year, I mean, there are home insurance companies that are backing out of the state, and that made big news, from State Farm to Allstate. Is that having an impact on transactions when it comes to selling or buying a home?
You know, I feel like we're in the middle of this trend, and it's just starting to be more heightened. Now, fire insurance has been an issue for years. I know someone shopping in Auburn, $750 a month is what the buyer expects to pay for just fire insurance, right? We know that. But what's beginning to happen is that I'm starting to get, messages from, homeowners saying that I was dropped. I'm in a tract neighborhood in Roseville. And because of the way that the fire lines are drawn, even though it's, I live in a stucco box with a tile roof, I got dropped. And then now I'm trying to shop for insurance, and it's, I'm getting quotes two or three times the rate. And so that sort of dynamic can definitely have an impact on the market if we start to see this on a massive scale, and if more insurers drop residents. That's definitely something we have to watch. My market antennas are certainly up about that. But I wouldn't say that it's pronounced right now, because people still can get insurance, but it's starting to be more difficult. We're just at the beginning of this.
Yeah. The market is interconnected when it comes to real estate. I mean, there's also just a higher cost of living and inflation. What role or toll, if any, is that having on people maybe selling their homes because they can't afford the mortgage due to other costs of living?
Yeah, no, it absolutely matters. Thankfully, eggs aren't as expensive today. If we could get Taylor Swift tickets down a little bit, that might help. But, I think the cost of living, it affects everyone. And oftentimes we think about affordability as a buyer issue, that buyers need affordability. Yes, they do. But do you know who else needs affordability? Sellers, because they have to get, afford a replacement home. And so I think, maybe I'm ultra sensitive to it as a guy with two teenage sons with auto insurance. Oh, my gosh. Or I just heard the news, Sac State is going to, increase their fees. Yeah. Oh, no, we're going to have three people in my house in college. And it's just, it is what it is. But I think, money doesn't grow on trees. And at some point, you have to cut back in certain places.
What advice do you have for someone looking to buy right now?
I'd just say to, know your budget and to consult your lifestyle. Where do you want to be in life? What can you afford? And are you comfortable with a mortgage payment? Those are things that I would say to any buyer in any market. Don't let anyone pressure you into something. You won't just have one opportunity, and you have to seize it right now. It might not be the right time for you, And so I'd say just really look at your lifestyle, though. You get one life. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to live? Who do you want to do life with? Those are the most important things. But don't flex too hard, okay? Buyers are really, really picky about getting into contract and staying in contract. And I think that's right. They should be in a climate where it costs more to buy today.
Ryan, thank you so much for the time and the perspective.
Thank you so much.
Ryan Lundquist is a real estate appraiser here in Sacramento. He is also very active on his blog, and we have a link to his information on our Insight page. Up next, an investigation found that medical-related deaths among people incarcerated in Sacramento County jails has been on the rise and lacks any independent oversight. The reporter behind the investigation joins us. You're listening to Insight here on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a few moments.